Good afternoon, everyone. So with Purim coming up in less than a week, I wanted to discuss Simon Yoni Purim, and for today we'll focus on Tanis Esther. So the Rambam in Hilchos Ta'anios, Perakei Halacha Hei, records that the Minag Yisrael is to fast on Yud Gimel Adar, on the 13th of Adar, which is known as Tanis Esther, and the Shulchan Aruch in Orachayim Tafresh Pei Vav codifies this practice. So of course we have the Minhag to fast on Erev Purim on Yud Gimel Adar. The truth is that this Tanis really stands alone in many ways. Tanis Esther really emerges unique with respect to its relationship to other Ta'anios. Whereas the other Dalit Ta'anios, of course, are mentioned in Shas and are referred to in Nevi'im, Tanis Esther is not mentioned directly anywhere in Shas. In addition to that, Tanis Esther also defies some of the rules that we usually apply to Ta'anisim. For example, the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Hey Amud Aleph tells us that Ikdume Pur Anusa Lo Mikadminan, that if we have a Tanis that falls out in the calendar on a Shabbos, so usually we will postpone that Tanis until Sunday, because Ikdume Pur Anusa Lo Mikadminan. We don't want to take up Puranos to make it come even sooner than it needs to come, because usually Ta'anisim reflect or commemorate a certain distressful time. So therefore, we want to postpone the commemoration of that time. We don't want to make it come any earlier. However, the halacha is that when it comes to Tanis Esther, so if Tanis Esther falls out on Shabbos, then we don't have it. We don't postpone that Tanis, but rather, excuse me, but rather we commemorate Tanis Esther, or we practice Tanis Esther on Thursday in advance of Shabbos. So Tanis Esther also defies this rule of Ikdume Puranu Salome Kadmina. And in addition, it also defies some of the rules of what's called Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis was a sefer with a number of Yamim Tovim that were listed in it that used to be practiced. And the Gemara in Tanis, sorry, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Ches, basically explains that there's a machlokas whether Megillas Tanis is betela or not betela. We rule that it is betela, and therefore the Yamim Tovim that are listed in Megillas Tanis no longer apply bizman hazeh. And in addition to that, so there's also a rule when it comes to Megillas. So actually, before we get to the addition, let's just note the exception. So although we no longer practice the Yamim Tovim of Megillas Tainis, so the Yerushalmi clarifies that is not applicable to Hanukkah in Purim. Hanukkah and Purim were 2 days that are listed in Megillas Tainis that still apply Bizman Hazeh, even though the rest of the Yamim Tovim listed in Megillas Tainis do not apply Bizman Hazeh. And that being the case, that leads to an interesting question, because we do have an additional rule that when it comes to Yamim Tovim that are listed in Megillas Tainis, so the Gemara in Tainis tells us that according to Rabbi Yossi, one is not allowed to fast neither on the day before that Yom Tov nor on the day after that Yom Tov. So if we take those two pieces of information and we combine them together, then we reach a certain problem. Number one is that Purim is a day that's listed in Megillas Tainis and still applies Bizman Hazeh. Number two is that there's a rule that one is not allowed to fast neither before nor after any Yom Tov listed in Megillas Tainis. And if that's the case, so then it should come out, it should emerge that one is not allowed to fast on Yud Gimel Adar, because Yud Gimel Adar is the day that precedes Yud Dalet Adar, namely Purim, and Purim is listed in Megillas Tainis. So how can it be that we fast on Yud Gimel Adar, that we have a Tainis Esther, if it's the case that according to the rules of Megillas Tainis, that we're not allowed to fast the day before a Yom Tov listed in Megillas Tainis? That is a question that many, many of the Rishonim pose, and we'll return to that question. But for now, suffice it to say that clearly Tainis Esther defies these rules of Megillas Tainis. So in all three of these ways, the fact that it's not mentioned directly in Shas, the fact that it defies the rule of Ikdume Pur Anusa Lo Mikadminan, the fact that it defies the general rules of Megillas Tainis, in all of these ways, Tainis Esther emerges unique. And the question really is then how to characterize the nature of Tainis Esther, what accounts for these rule-breaking dinim that we've mentioned, and what are the other consequences of its unique character. So let's begin our discussion of the character and the nature of Tainis Esther by delving into the source for Tainis Esther. We mentioned before that it's not mentioned really, it's not mentioned in Shas. So if that's the case, then where exactly does it come from? So here we have really three different views in Rishonim as to the source for Tainis Esther. The Shibole Haleked was of the opinion that really there is no source. Tainis Esther is Betoras Minhag. It was a Minhag that developed in Klal Yisrael to fast on the eve of Purim. And that's all that it is. There really is no source for it. It's really just a minhag that developed. So that's the position of the Shibolei Halakhen. But in other Rishonim, we find that that even if it is B'toras Minhag, it still relates back to some earlier source. The Orchus Chaim in Hilchos Purim and Simen Chaf Hei argues that Tanis Esther is a commemoration of the Tainis that Esther declared that the rest of the Jews of Shushan should keep before she went to visit Achashverosh. When Esther says in Perek Dalet of the Megillah, Leich Kenoses Kol Yehudim and Nimtzim B'Shushan, V'tzumu Alai V'al Tochlu V'al Tishtu Shloshes Yomim Laila V'Yom. So Esther commands that the rest of the Jews of Shushan fast for 3 days. So in commemoration of that fast, we fast for 1 day on right before Purim, on Yud Gimel Adar. Now, the problem with that position, the Shibolei Halakhet explains, and this is the reason why the Shibolei Halakhet rejects this opinion, is that if you do the calculations, those 3 days of fasts that Esther commanded the rest of the Jews of Shushan to observe were not on Yud Gimel Adar. In fact, they weren't even in Adar at all. They were during the month of Nisan. So if that's the case, then it seems difficult to explain that Yud Gimel Adar, the Tanis Esther, is in commemoration of a fast that didn't take place in Adar at all, that place in Nisan. Therefore, the Shibolei Halakhet rejects that possibility. However, the most popular of possibilities that arises in the Rishonim is that this fast of Yud Gimel Adar of Tanis Esther is in commemoration of a different fact that we assume that the Jews of the time period of Purim observed as well. And that's when you turn to the end of the Megillah. So in Megillah Esther and Perek Tes, so the Megillah describes the war that the Jews of Shushan and the Jews of the Arei HaPrazim fought. And of course, the days that they rested afterwards that were later established as the days of Purim. And the Pasuk in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Ches, says, V'hayuhudim asher b'shushan nekhalu b'shlosha asar bau u'v'arba asar bau. So the Jews of Shushan gathered together on the 13th and the 14th. V'noach b'chamisha asar bau v'asar uso yom ishta v'simcha. And then on the 15th, they rested and they made it into a Yom Mishta V'Simcha, and of course that's the practice that for Krachim, that for walled cities, so we practice, they would practice Purim on the 15th of Adar. So what that pasuk essentially says is that on the 13th and the 14th, they fought the war. And of course, we know that the Jews of the Arei HaPrazim also fought on the 13th. So all of the Jews of Persia were fighting on the 13th of Adar. Not being the case, the Rishonim Rabbeinu Tam at their forefront makes the argument that there is a practice to fast at the time of war. And he connects this to the Milchemes Amalek, where Rabbeinu Tam explains that that there was a practice to fast while the Jews were fighting that war. And so too, when the Jews were fighting their war against Shushan on the 13th, and the rest of Persia, so they fasted at that time as well. So Rabbeinu Tam explains that because they fasted at that point, and that was Yud Gimel Adar, so therefore in commemoration of that fast, we fast also on Yud Gimel Adar, and we have Tanis Esther right before Purim. Some Rishonim even point to a pasuk at the end of the Megillah that seems to hint at this fast, and that is the phrase Divrei Hatzomos Vizaakosam. Both the Rambam and the Ravid interpret that phrase of Divrei Hatzomos Vizaakosam as saying that that the Jews not only practiced the days of Purim, but also fasted in advance of Purim. And that is what the words Divrei Hatzomos refer to, that there were fasts, that there was a fast in advance of Purim on Yud Gimel Adar, and that emerges as the source for our practice to fast on Yud Gimel Adar. So in all, we have three different options. Even if it's B'toras Minhag, does it have any source in the Megillah? So the Shibolei Halakhet says, you can't really point to any source. It's B'toras Minhag. The Orchos Chaim points to the Tanis that Esther commanded the rest of the Jews of Shushan to fast in Esther Perek Dalet. And most of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam, the Rambam, and the Ravid, seem to get to the fast of Yud Gimel Adar that the Jews fasted as part of the war against Persia. So in light of this discussion of the source for Tanis Esther, so now what we can What we can get back to is the question that we posed at the beginning as to why it is or on what basis it is that that Tanis Esther defies the rules of Megillas Tainis. We said before that according to the rules of Megillas Tainis, one should not be allowed to fast the day before or the day after a Yom Tov. And since Purim is a Yom Tov that's recorded in Megillas Tainis and that is not nullified Bisman Azeh, so therefore we would expect that that rule would apply and we shouldn't be allowed to fast on the eve of Purim. On Yud Gimel Adar. So on what basis is it that we can fast on Yud Gimel Adar and have Tanis Esther? So here we find the Machlokas Rishonim in resolving this question. The Baal HaMor explains that the whole reason why one is not allowed to fast both before and after a Yom Tov that's listed in Megillas Tainis is in order to give Chizuk to that day. Because the Yom Tov was originated later in time, and therefore its status was a little bit compromised. So therefore, it needed some chizuk, and that being the case, there was a prohibition to fast both before and after. However, Purim, which are midivrei Kabbalah, so Purim doesn't need any chizuk. That is already midivrei Kabbalah. We know about that from the time of Megillas Esther. So that being the case, we're not going to apply the rule that that one is not allowed to fast both before and after, and therefore there would be no problem to fast prior to Purim. Tosfos in Maseches Tainis and Daf Yud Ches explains, kind of in the opposite fashion, that even though Purim was not batel as a Yom Tov as part of Megillas Tainis, the rule that one is not allowed to fast before and after that Yom Tov was batel. The same way that all of the other Yamim Tovim listed in Megillas Tainis are batelim. And therefore, one would be allowed to fast on Yod Gimel Adar. But perhaps the most fascinating of answers that we find in the Rishonim is brought in the name of the Ravid in the parish of the Ran and Megillah, Dav Zayin and Aleph, in the Dapei Harif. And the Ravid explains that the reason why Tainis Esther doesn't violate that rule of Megillas Tainis, that one is not allowed to fast before and after a Yom Tov, is because Tainis Esther is not really the same at its core and essence as other Ta'anisim. When the Megillas Tainis says that one is not allowed to have a fast prior to a Yom Tov listed in Megillas Tainis, what it prohibits is a Tainis of a Tzar, a Tainis that's in commemoration of a certain distressful time. However, Tainis Esther is not a Tainis of a Tzar. In retrospect, we know that we won the war, and therefore we established days of Mishta v'Simcha, of Purim, of great Simcha. And that being the case, the Tainus that precedes those days of Purim is not a Tainus of Tzar, but rather it's a Tainus that's Zecher Lenis. It's in commemoration of Divrei Hatzomos v'Za'akosam, of the entire story and narrative of the Jews having fasted during the time of war, having won the war, and then celebrated the days of Purim. And that being the case, it's actually the Ravid goes on to say that it was part of the Kabbalah of Purim. So Divrei Hatzomos v'Za'akosam, according to the Ravid, means that not only did the Jews at the time of the Megillah establish the days of the 14th and 15th as Yemei Mishta v'Simcha, as Yemei Purim, but they also included in that establishment Divrei Hatzomos v'Za'akosam, the fast that they fasted on the 13th as part of the war. And this being the case, so the nature of Tanis Esther emerges unique. The nature of Tanis Esther is not like any of the other Dalit Ta'anisim that we fast during the rest of the year. Those Ta'anisim are Ta'anisim of Tzar, of Tzar and Tzara. They're meant to commemorate the Tzaros that we experience at those times. However, Tanis Esther is not meant to commemorate a Tzara, but is rather a Zecher Lenis and part of the broader Kiyum of Purim, on its whole. And that being the case, so it doesn't violate the rule of Megillas Tainis that one is not allowed to fast in advance of a Yom Tov, because that's true only for a Tainis of its Tzara, but not for a Tainis that's Zecher Lenis, like Tainis Esther really is. And once this is the case, so then we can explain some of the other unique facets of Tanis Esther as well. We mentioned at the beginning that the rule of Ikdume Pur Anusa Lo Mekadminan does not apply to Tanis Esther. That while we push off, we delay other Ta'anisim, we don't do that for Tanis Esther, but rather we have Tanis Esther in advance. If Tanis Esther falls out on Shabbos, we don't delay it, but rather we have it on the Thursday before. So why is that? So the Magen Mishnah explains that really we should have applied the rule, but we can't apply the rule. Why can't we apply the rule? Because right after Tanis Esther is Purim. We can't fast on Purim, so we're going to, by force, we have to make Tanis Esther early. We can't delay it because Purim follows afterwards. So the Magen Mishnah assumes that fundamentally we should have applied the rule of Ikdume Pur Anusa Lo Mekadmina. However, the more Mordechai implies that we don't apply the rule of Ketumei Puranus Salome Kadmina to Tanis Esther, because Tanis Esther at its core and essence is not a Puranus. Ikdume Puranus Salome Kadminan, but Tanis Esther is not a Puranus. It's not in memory of any distressful time. That being the case, we're not going to apply that rule. Tanis Esther is not a Tainus of its Sarah, the way the Ravid explains, but rather it's Zecher Lenis. It's part of the Kiyum, it's part of the broader Kiyum of Purim, and a Zecher Lenis of Purim. And therefore, we're not going to apply the rule of Ikdumei Puranus al Nomekad Minon. So what might be at the core of the dispute between the Magimish and the Mordechai is how to characterize Tanis Esther. Do we view Tanis Esther in light of the other Dalit Ha'anisim that we have during the rest of the year? Does the Dal Ta'anisim come from Divrei Nevi'im, whereas Tanis Esther is Betoras Minhag? But really, they're all characterized by their Tainis and by the Tzara that we feel on that day. That would be the position of the Magen Mishnah. Or do we view Tanis Esther as fundamentally different from other Ta'anisim, and Tanis Esther is really Zecher L'Nes, and therefore we're not going to apply the rule of Ikdumei Puranus al Domekad Minon? In addition, we can explain another very interesting phenomenon that applies to Tanis Esther. The Gemara Megillah and Daf Beis Amud Aleph tries to explain the first mission of Megillah that says that the Megillah can be read all the way from the 11th of Adar through the 15th of Adar. And the Gemara goes on to explain how we include the days of the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. The 14th and the 15th, those are days of Purim. But how can we explain why the Megillah could be read for certain populations on the 11th and the 12th and the 13th? And the Gemara explains that we don't need a pasuk to explain why the Megillah can be read on Tanis Esther, because Yud Gimel Adar was as man kihil ola kol hi. It was a day when everyone gathered together. What exactly does that mean? But Rabbi Nutam explains, based on his understanding of Tanis Esther, that Zman Kihil Ola Kol Hi was a time when everybody gathered together in order to commemorate the fast, in order to experience the fast. And he said Slichos on that day. So since everybody gathered together, therefore it's Zman Kihil Ola Kol Hi, and therefore one can read the Megillah on that day. But that doesn't really explain, just because everybody gathered together on the day to experience Tanis Esther, to observe Tanis Esther, why does that make the day fit for the Megillah? So apparently, what's implicit in Rabbi Nutam's comment is that Tanis Esther also is Zecher L'Nes. It's part of the Kiyum of Purim, and therefore, since it's part of the Kiyum of Purim, it doesn't need a pasuk in order to explain why the Megillah can be recited on that day. So now that we've developed this yesod, the Tanis Esther is fundamentally different from the other Ta'anisim because it's part of the Kiyum of Purim. Of Divrei Hatzomos was a Akosam, according to the Ravid, it was established as part of the observance of Purim, that we have the 13th as the fast, and then the 14th and the 15th as the Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, and that the fast is not a Tza'ar, but rather a Zecher to that Nisa on its whole. So what other Nafkamina do we find, what other practical consequences apply to this fact, that Tanis Esther is really different at its core? The one very interesting one is the discussion as to whether La'asid Lava will be a Mos HaMashiach, whether we will still have Tanis Esther. The Rambam in Hilchos Megillah Perek Beis Halacha Yud Ches explains, based on the Yerushalmi in Megillah Perek Hey Halacha Perek Aleph Halacha Hey, that Purim, even though other krios will be betalim la'asid lavo, Purim is not going to be betalim la'asid lavo. And the Yerushalmi explains that that's because of the pasuk of Yimei HaPurim Ha'ila Lo Yavru Mitoch HaYehudim V'Zichram Lo Yasuf Mizar'am. That these days Lo Yavru Mitoch HaYehudim, they will never cease to exist. So therefore, Purim is not betalim la'asid lavo. So what does that mean for Tanis Esther? Does that also mean that Tanis Esther will not be betalim la'asid lavo? So in the Sefer HaRei Kedem, the Brisker Rav is quoted as having been of the opinion that just as, according to the Rambam, the days of Purim are not betalim la'asid lavo, so too Tanis Esther is not betalim la'asid lavo. And likewise, Rav Batal Zolti in the Mishnah Siyavitz also makes a very similar argument that Tanis Esther will not be betalim la'asid lavo. And what's the basis to make such an argument? Again, it's based on the same yesod. Because Tanis Esther is a Zecher L'Nes, because it's part of the Kiyum of Purim, so therefore the rule that the days of Purim are Lo Ya'avru Mitoch HaYehudim also encompasses the idea that Tanis Esther will also not be Over Mitoch HaYehudim. That Tanis Esther also will not be Betela Le'asid Lava. In addition, the Batal Jolti in the Mishnah Siavitz also tries to explain why Tainus Esther is a more lenient fast, as we find in Shulchan Aruch. There are now comments in Siman Tarfesh Peivav and Aruch Chaim that there are certain kulas that we apply to the Tainus Esther that we don't apply necessarily to other Ta'anisim. The Rama mentions that even if they feel fully healthy, pregnant women and nursing women are totally exempt from Tainus Esther. There's a discussion as to whether a chasan during Shiva Samea Mishdah, a chasan and kala, need to fast on Tainus Esther. Some opinions, including the Chidon, the Berke Yosef, and others rule that he doesn't have to fast during Tainus Esther. If Moshe Feinstein seems to disagree with that, but at least there's a discussion as to whether chasan and kala need to fast during the Shiva Samea Mishdah if Tainus Esther falls out during the Shiva Samea Mishdah. There's also a discussion whether Balei Habris, whether the father of a son who has Brispila on Tainus Esther needs to fast on that day. All of these discussions are discussed in Shulchan Aruch and the later poskim. And essentially, the Mishnah Seivitz or Batal Jolti makes the argument that the reason why we would be more lenient about Tainus Esther than we would be for the other Dalit Ha'anisim is because Tainus Esther is not really an intrinsic fast. We fast because of the Zecher L'Nes. The reason why we fast is not in order to distress ourselves in commemoration of whatever tzaros we experienced on that day, but rather we fast because of a Zecher L'Nes, because of the fact that the Jews fasted as part of the war prior to the days of Purim. And that being the case, because it's not an intrinsic fast, but rather the fast is in commemoration of a Zecher L'Nes, so therefore it might not carry all of the restrictions that other fasts would carry. So in light of this, so what emerges is that Tainus Esther really becomes part of the Kiyum of Purim, and that part of the Kiyum of Purim is to transition from the Tainus to the immense Simcha that we feel during the Yemei Mishdah of the Simcha of Purim. That going through that transition is the Kiyum of Purim, and as my Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig likes to explain, Tainus Esther is part of the Kiyum of Purim because one of the essential themes of Purim is the power of tefillah and hashgacha that we feel from the Ribono Shel Olam looking backwards at the Nes. And that being the case, so a perfect way to experience that theme is not only to have the Yemei Mishdah v'Simcha, but also to have a day of Tainus in advance, where we really practice that theme of coming together as Man Kihila Lakol Hi, to come together in Slichos and Tachanunim and dive into Hashem in advance of the days of Yemei Mishdah V'Simcha, and thereby reflect that we've really internalized the theme of Purim, of the days of Purim being Yemei Tefillah V'Hashgacha. I wish everyone a great rest of the week and a good Shabbos.